And we're trying to keep it going.
That's what I'm talking about. Man, when I talk about, man, you killed the shit on the last Sweet 16. That shit was incredible, man. What, you went 8 for 8, right?
What, on that, the Elite Eight picks?
Yeah.
I'm 16-1 in my last bets on college basketball.
Turn it.
Or 16-2. When was the last time was it about the 16 or was it about the Elite Eight?
It was about the Sweet 16 because it was right before the weekend.
Yeah, so Sweet 16, let's see. We hit on Michigan. We lost on Gonzaga. We hit on Duke. We hit on Houston. We hit on St. Peter's. On Providence covering. We hit on North Carolina. And we hit on Miami on the Sweet 16. And then Elite Eight, we hit on Nova. We hit on Duke. We missed on Miami, but we doubled up on North Carolina.
Man, what an incredible weekend. Hashtag Chris knows. Hashtag get the bag. Hashtag Chris told you. So, welcome to episode 96 of the Pickup Podcast. Your boy Marcus here. Returning betting guru, sports analyst, master of the Sweet 16, Chris Denny back in the building. What's up, Chris?
Yes, sir. Good to be back. What's good with you?
Man, we're good. Got this Final Four coming up. Going to get into both of those games and going to give a little preemptive championship talk. I might hit you up on that Saturday in between or Sunday in between to see if we can get one specifically for the championship game.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. So stick with us. We'll be right back with it. All right. So like you were saying, man, you had a fantastic Sweet 16, Elite Eight weekend. Final Four has been set. The Villanova, Kansas, North Carolina, Duke. Two games, or first time that I think that they said all four teams in the Final Four have multiple championships. So if there's any more competitive Final Four as far as program weight being thrown around, I don't think there has been one. This is kind of the big dog shit right here.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's almost exactly like we called it on the last podcast that we did on the last episode. And if you've been following, I hope that we made you a good bit of money as well on these picks. But as far as the matchups coming up, I mean, it's good. It's Villanova, Kansas, North Carolina, Duke. It doesn't get much better than that. And I know that we really, really were high on, you know, them having their storyline, and it was North Carolina Duke meeting in the Final Four, and it's awesome to see that it actually happened.
Yeah, I was not too concerned about Arkansas as far as the Duke game against Arkansas. I was a little surprised that Arkansas took out Gonzaga, but at the same time, like I said before, we saw Gonzaga struggle with superior athleticism that they haven't faced all season long, from the 16 seed that they played to Memphis to Arkansas actually, you know, seal the deal and close them out. Also, Chet getting into foul trouble and fouling out early with only 11 points also helped. So, yeah, that kind of cleared the way, and I already knew Arkansas was not better than Duke. So as long as Duke came and played their, you know, to their potential, they already got past what I believe was their worst matchup of the entire tournament, Texas Tech. So I have supreme confidence now they can beat anyone left in the field, not just as a Duke fan, but just as literally they beat, you know, the hardest team that I thought for them to beat. So if they can, you know, not fall into the trap game, I feel like I'm just going to go straight to Duke Carolina because that's what we're here for. Duke Carolina, it's a game that I feel like North Carolina's, they're hitting their stride in the first two games of the tournament. His last game against St. Peter's, a 15 seed that, you know, had a magic run all the way up here. Kind of some of the magic ran out. They had a 30% shooting performance. Not great. North Carolina beat them by 20, but it still wasn't to me like super convincing. Especially for a team that, you know, was shooting 30% from the field. The defense obviously made them take some tougher shots. You know, I thought they were more locked in defensively, but kind of just let their athleticism and their talent gap show a little bit more on that side of the ball. Offensively, they didn't come with the same firepower that they had for a Baylor or for a UCLA. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a pretty mild offensive game against a lesser opponent. It was else, I don't think North Carolina really would have won that game. So maybe they just got that bad one out the way. Because if they play like that against Duke, I don't see them having a chance.
No, you're 100% right. I will applaud them because anyone who bet on St. Peter's, it was the biggest sucker's bet in history. If those two play at any other point in the season, right, that spread's minus 22, minus maybe 25, North Carolina, right? So, I mean, I absolutely applaud them for covering first half minus 4.5 easily, minus 8.5 full game easily. That was great. But to your point, if they play like that, they lose to Duke 100%, probably by double digits. So it's North Carolina, I feel like, is a team that is going to play to the moment, to the team, to the competition. I think you nailed it on the head saying that their athleticism was the reason they could pull away from St. Peter's. They're, you know, Baycott's overall size, and they did enough. And St. Peter's, obviously, to stay in that game would have had to shoot a remarkable clip from three, which they didn't. But it's tough to say that they won't play up to the Duke level when they play. You know how those matchups are. I mean, you know how every time they play, it doesn't matter when or where or how, it's going to be a close game, which is, makes betting a little tough. My early leans is to take Duke minus 4 because I think Duke is obviously the better team. But North Carolina does find a way to stay in games no matter what, and we've seen it throughout this whole tournament. That's going to be a really, really good one.
Yeah, and like I said, just looking at the, you know, coming into the games, Duke coming off of a dominant win in Arkansas. End of the game, you know, kind of made the score closer than the game really was. Duke was up by, you know, 15, 16, 17, the majority of the second half before they cleared the bench. Yeah. Got it down for the win. And then North Carolina, like I said, same deal. Tail of the tape at the or the score at the end of the game doesn't really reflect how well they played or didn't play, in my opinion, going for the game. So, I mean, you got, like I said, they shot 30% from the field. St. Peter's did 25% from three. They just didn't really have to do much to get by. You know, North Carolina themselves only shot 41% from the field and 27% from three. That's not going to cut it against Duke. You got RJ Davis, who's been up and down this tournament. You know, he had 30 that second round game, and now he had 9, had 5 the game before that. Caleb Love had 30 twice, or he had 23, and then he had 30 first round. Then the Sweet 16 came out here with 14, didn't shoot all that particularly well, 2 of 10 from 3. So those are the two guys that I think are going to have to be, you know, crucial. Like, they don't get by anything with Duke unless those two are 100% on. Brady Manick's been the most consistent player on the team, more consistent than Baycott, in my opinion. He's the X factor. Because both times that they played Duke, Manick was on fire. A matchup nightmare. I don't think anyone can guard him. You know, he might as well be prime Dirk out here in college. seriously, there's nothing that we can really do for him. Put size on him. He's a good passer from over the top. Can't really – he has a quick release, a super quick release. You can't really leave him any space. Closing out on him is pretty difficult. His high release point, even when you do close out, you know, it's impossible to block a shot, so he doesn't really get rattled, unfazable when he shoots and when he's on. He's in the zone. So if I had to take a bet on it, I'm taking Duke with the points, taking with the spread. 5-point, 6-point win, I think, is coming. That's kind of where I'm at with it. I expect Duke's guards to have a little more trouble. I don't expect Jeremy Roach to go crazy, per se, because he's going to have a little bit more on his plate offense or defensively, having to get, you know, Caleb Love under check. Wendell Moore is going to have to be super important because Leaky Black's going to be on Paolo probably most of the game. So he's going to have forward wing pressure for Duke. Mark Williams has to have, you know, the game of his life. He has to keep Baycott under control, which that didn't happen in the last matchup when Duke lost. Baycott wasn't, you know, stayed in the game, stayed out of foul trouble. And Mark Williams was, you know, kind of rendered, you know, neutral. So, but if everything goes according to plan, you know, both teams are playing at their best, I'm going to take Duke.
Yeah, I mean, the game comes down to matchups and foul trouble. And I think that's going to be on the defensive side for Duke. Before I get too far, because I do want to applaud the Duke-Arkansas game because it was absolutely amazing to bet Duke minus 4.5 and then take Arkansas plus 10.5 live and Duke. And they cover that because of that late game, you know, bullshit. So that was awesome to double up there. But look, with Duke, North Carolina, you need the X factor of Banchero going off again, because I think you're going to see that you're going to see tired legs from the amount of running around Duke's going to be doing on defense because North Carolina moves so much. And they're quick. And foul trouble, obviously, is going to be the next important thing, because I think Baycott-Mark Williams is a good matchup. Honestly, maybe a slight advantage to Baycott, just a tiny bit. But if Mark Williams gets into foul trouble and it's Baycott on Theo John, now it's a problem.
Yep.
So Mark Williams needs to stay out of foul trouble. They do need to play physical down low with him and force to take a bunch of threes and hopefully shoot that 25 to 30% clip, because that's not going to get it done. The other thing that I think Duke needs to do is stay away from the zone. That is, North Carolina is the last team you want to go zone against. And I know, you know, from watching Duke, they don't do it too often, but when man-to-man seems to get a little bit flustered, Coach K will kind of has it as a band-aid fix on defense for a little bit to switch to it for a different look. That's, yeah. I think, in my opinion, the worst thing you can do with North Carolina, because if you're going to give Caleb Love, you know, that 26-footer just because it's outside of the normal zone, or Manic now moving on the baseline to where it has to get all the way out to the corners for, you know, guarding threes at the last second. Now you're risking rebounds to Baycott. You know, the zone is just a terrible matchup for North Carolina, in my opinion. So, and obviously I watch Q, so I know what the weaknesses are in the zone. And North Carolina, to a T, is that team. So if they can – look, if they can hold their own defensively and limit them to a 25% clip from three, I think Duke covers minus four. I don't expect it to be a double-digit win by any means, and I don't expect it to get away from either team at all. I think you're going to see your runs of 5 to 6, you know, here and there, and a bunch of lead changes early. But I think Duke should be able to sustain that lead within the last 8 to 10 minutes of like a 4 or 5 point lead and extend it to 7-8 by the end of the game.
Yeah, both of these teams have shown the ability to close games out late. They've been in, you know, North Carolina clearly has been in two games already where they've had to do or die. Duke's, you know, overcome late run against Michigan State. They had a pretty close game up until late against Texas Tech, where, you know, they both have grown up over the last, you know, month or so. So this is, I think, going to be completely different from either of the first two matchups. The one where Duke completely just kind of outclassed UNC, that's out the window. And that last game against at home for Coach K, I think that's kind of out the window too. It's two different teams. You know, this isn't the same shell shot Duke team that can't handle pressure. This isn't the same UNC team that, you know, just looked outclassed by Duke. I think this is really going to be a heavyweight battle. And I say all that when I'm talking about, I think Duke wins at their best, but that's not me saying I don't think North Carolina can win. I 100% believe North Carolina has the ability to beat Duke at their best, given one or two things. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's be that close to me. But I feel like at the end of the game, when it just comes down to athlete on athlete, Duke has been able to prove that, especially, like I said, Michigan State and Texas Tech, they've been able to prove themselves to go athlete on athlete. And I think Duke has the better athletes. So that's what I'm going with Duke.
That's 100% correct. And look, Bancaro's got to look past the whole ideology of, oh, they're putting their best defender on me, everyone else needs to make plays. No, he needs to go at Leaky Black all game and get Leaky into foul trouble, because the only way Leaky's still giving up a few inches of height and obviously a good 20-30 pounds. So if Bancaro can at least get too early on Leaky, he's going to have whatever matchup he wants for the rest of the first half at least. And then Leaky Black's going to have to play a little less aggressively, to where you're going to see Bancaro probably get some more open looks from outside, but he needs to drive early and be aggressive early. And that'll be the key. If Leaky Black gets into foul trouble, there is not one player on North Carolina that can step up and guard him. One that matches up well. So if I'm Bancaro, I look at myself as an X factor early, not just to score, but to fuck everything up for North Carolina by getting Leaky in foul trouble.
And that's facts. So moving on to the other game. Real quick, so we got Villanova and Kansas. Kansas was a team that I really wasn't super high on. I thought, you know, Miami was going to be able to pull kind of what they did in the first half. That's basically what I expected Miami to do. It just, Kansas went into like eighth gear in the second half and just completely like put their dick on the table and just I think it was in Elite Eight history, the biggest margin of victory for a team that was losing at halftime. Right, they were losing by 6 and then they won by what, 26? Right?
Yeah, that was bizarre to watch. When I watched that first half, I was sold that Miami would win, at least cover plus Then they put up 15 points in the second half, but they got to that mark when they went down 8. And I think you can blame it on probably lack of leadership on that team, lack of veterans that in their mind, they just went into panic mode of we need to start hitting threes only. And that game really, really got away from them. And quite honestly, Wong looked terrible. Charlie Moore.
Game of the season.
Yeah, dude, Wong couldn't even dribble in the first half. Charlie Moore had more turnovers than any other stat, I'm pretty sure, that he put up. And the X factor to bring the ball up and hit a three from 30 feet, he could – it was just – I mean, I know Kansas is bigger and plays good defense, and Remy Martin's a pest, but he fell apart with 4 minutes in the first half. And now you're just relying on McGusty, who's good. Don't get me wrong. Kid's a baller, but it's not X factor beat Kansas by herself good. And then when Sam Wardenburg fouled out and that took away the big man against McCormick, McCormick was kind of eaten in the second half. And Kansas looked good, but they looked good against a 10-seed Miami good. They didn't look – they still don't hit a good clip of threes. Abaji, for some reason, doesn't look like the man anymore. They're just a well-rounded team now, in my opinion. And a quick first pick, when I look at the spread, Kansas minus 4.5, I think, are you crazy? That's how I looked at Houston minus 3 against Villanova. It's disrespectful. It's Villanova plus 4.5 all day in my book.
Yeah, see, look, and I was going to say almost the same thing you just said about Kansas, how I looked at Villanova. Villanova, they defensively were good. I wouldn't even say great. They were good. But you just had Houston historically bad shooting, like just not even they're getting bad shots. They were getting, you know, dribble penetration, kick out to the top of the key, or they were getting rebounds, come back out with the open three. They were getting transition threes. They were 1 for 20 from threes. They had the worst shooting performance I have maybe ever seen. And they still were in the game down by like 4 with a minute left. They lost by 6 and shot 5% from three. They shot under both teams shot under 30%. Like I say, nothing about Villanova's victory moved me to think that this was a championship level performance. And so the fact that they got matched up against Kansas, that's what I'm saying. Look, if this was the opposite, we put Duke and Carolina on opposite sides, I'm 100% hammering both of them meeting in a championship. To me, yeah. Duke Carolina right now feels more like the national championship game. I think these are the two best teams left in the field. It's just sad they're on the same side of the bracket. Whoever wins this game, I have full confidence will go to the championship game and pull it out. But, I mean, that's not to say that, you know, because Jay Wright, he's been here before. He's not new to this. You know, 2 championships, 16, 18, you know, his 3rd Final Four in 6 years. I think he can get this team up past a performance like that. Bill Self, it's been a minute since he's been in the Final Four like this, right? Or he had one in, what, 2018 and didn't really – these aren't the same type of – situations for both of these teams. So if I'm going on, you know, coaching experience and what team I think is a little bit more dominant, I think Villanova kind of might be there, but then they also lost, you know, more to the Achilles.
Yeah, that's true. I did forget about that slightly. I watched a good bit of Villanova this year. I mean, more was obviously an intricate piece. I guess the 4.5 line's a little more justifiable now for Kansas, but Villanova's been like that all year. It doesn't matter who they play. They will play to the competition. I think there's one exception. They beat Butler by 40 in January. Other than that, you have shit teams like Georgetown. You know, that was a 9-point game. You got DePaul. That was a close game the first time. St. John's was a 9-point game. Connecticut was a 9-point game. But they win. They just win. I mean, they beat good teams throughout the year with the out of conference like Tennessee, and so it's tough. You know, I don't know what it is about Villanova, other than the fact that they just find a way. And I think I'm probably biased that I don't think Kansas is a great team, and Villanova will squeak by. It's not going to be pretty. It's probably an under type of game. It's 132.5. I'd probably imagine a 67-64 game to get to 131, somewhere around there, because neither team shoots the ball well at all. They have one, you know, like Villanova has Gillespie, who's obviously a sharpshooter. best shooter is probably Remy Martin right now. Maybe Christian Brown. I don't know. They don't have a true shooter, which is surprising because normally they have that one white dude that lights it up. But it's going to be one of those games where whoever can get to 40 points first probably wins. But it's going to be a tough game to watch. First half under, I feel, is a lock. Under is probably a lock in total unless it goes to overtime. But, again, Villanova just finds a way, and I'm not big on Kansas.
I mean, this is completely, you know, subjective here, but this is ESPN's BPI. They have Villanova as the favorite, although Kansas is the betting favorite with the spread. But this is also not considering, I don't think, that Villanova essentially only has a six-man rotation. That's why I think losing more is going to kind of throw that a little bit off, especially when they don't have a lot of perimeter depth at all. So this is going to be one of those games where I feel like it's going to become a coaching matchup. Because I think that's why I'm going with Villanova, because I think it's a, you know, Jay Wright's a better coach than Bill Self. And he's proven it recently more often because Bill Self's kind of underachieved with better talent before. They both kind of, you know, skated by to get to this matchup. I'm going to take Villanova here. I feel like Jay Wright, I just, you know, believing in Jay Wright. If there's anyone that you would want to crown the next it guy in college basketball, this would be a great setup, especially with Coach K retiring. For him to prove that, take that, you know, mantle, you know, three championship appearances in the last 6 years, that'd be great for him.
What's going to be the tough part is going to be the defensive end, because he is a pretty solid defender. He's a big body. He's,
right.
I don't know, maybe 6'4", 6'5". So, I mean, you lose that with Arciakido, obviously, but you might get some offensive prowess from three that you didn't get as much with Moore. So, Jay Wright will find a way to coach it. There's probably a next man up we've never heard of that's going to come in and drop 10 points. And everyone's going to be like, well, he did a great job stepping up. How did we not know about him? Jay Wright had a way. But, yeah, I mean, I may do a little bit more research before locking in Villanova +4.5 now, because a five-man rotation with someone who doesn't play very often as a six is tough no matter what for 40 minutes.
Yeah, well – that's what we got right now. Well, at least for me, I'm going to take Duke Villanova for the championship game. But it should be a fantastic weekend of basketball. Obviously, expect the unexpected. It's kind of been your thing, this whole thing.
Yeah.
All the way down. Shout out to some of these other teams that made great runs. St. Peter's, Houston. I mean, up until the very end, they look like the legit deal. Miami, shout out to them. And shout out to all those other teams that consistently disappoint. Shout out Gonzaga. Let's do this shit again. Kentucky, we love you.
Purdue, Arizona, Baylor.
Appreciate it. Baylor, appreciate it. So, you know, we'll get back to it. And maybe on, like I said, on Sunday, are you going to have time? We can get a championship preview for all this.
Yeah, absolutely. And just from my humble brag, if anyone was listening and took every single bet that I've picked this tournament, you would be up 16 units. Actually, more, because the units increased. So probably around 20 units of whatever your unit is. If it was $10, you'd be up 200. If it was 100, you'd be up 2 grand. So if you would have just listened, we all would have been up a good bit of money together.
Hashtag Denny told you. Hey, look, man, that's what it is. Appreciate you, Chris, my dog. Once again, appreciate you having you on.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me, and we'll see if Villanova can squeak by and if Duke can get to the promised land in Coach K's last year.
Yes, sir. That's what we at with.